Welcome back inside the WTKA studios. You're listening to The Playground on Sports Talk 1050 WTKA The Ticket. Jeff Childs in the host chair this morning with you. Jay-Z to my left and Tony O to my right. We've been breaking down Michigan's 51-14 win over UCF. That moves them to 2-0 on the season. In a little bit, we'll talk to Steve Lorenz of 24/7 Wolverine about his thoughts on this game, being up in the press box. And gentlemen, we've talked about the offense, we've talked about the defense, and Michigan set a record last week, a program record that was previously set in 2007 of freshman participation in this game. They had 17 last week. I don't think we quite saw that number in yesterday's win. Michigan, I think disappointing aspect to me, Michigan left the first team offense and defense, the starters, in a little bit longer. We didn't see Morris come in or Malzone, but we didn't see Dylan Crawford come in like we did a week before. Kalik Hudson had some run in this game, but as far as what last week meant and the depth going forward, guys, where do you see that freshman participation down the line in games this season?
Well, we've already seen it with Evans. You know, he's already went from maybe a guy we didn't see as number two backup as the running back, and maybe he's challenging with Isaac to be the number two. As far as the other guys, it's really just getting them snaps because it makes them work harder during the week. They're like, all right, I got in the game, and instead of going, all right, I'm a freshman, I'm going to be in the back of the tunnel, and then during the game, I'm pretty much not going to be, you know, I'm going to have to stand in the back and kind of watch this team and kind of learn from it from the first week. A lot of these guys were able to play. And because of that, I think it gives them more power, more strength going into the next week because they want to play the next week. And they're going to be more and more hungry as the season goes on. And it also helps because we do see injuries throughout the year. Have those guys ready to step up when that happens.
Yeah, it builds our depth for sure. And I think the other thing that that Harbaugh might be thinking about a little bit is for next year, where we're expected to lose really a fair amount of talent to the NFL draft. I think this is a way that we won't maybe feel that burden as much, because we'll have these freshmen will be sophomores and they'll have hopefully a decent amount of game experience. But in terms of what I see for the rest of the season, I don't think we're going to see 17 freshmen playing.
No, that's a high number.
Yeah, in some of these Big Ten games. But I do think we'll probably see maybe like 7, 8 I could see in some of these Big Ten games. I mean, maybe even a couple more, depending on how they do in practice and such. But I like the fact that we're playing the freshmen. I think it's good. And we can afford to. We can still win the games by a good margin.
Yeah, we're seeing Ben Bradison obviously has had a big impact in the offensive line. Rashawn Gary, 5-star recruit coming in. David Long didn't play yesterday. Harbaugh kept him out with an injury. Kalik Hudson did in the secondary, but David Long, Devin Bush at linebacker. I think those are some names that, as we move along, freshmen that will have a good first campaign with the Wolverines. So we're going to head to the phones now and talk to Steve Lorenz of 24/7 Sports on his impressions of yesterday's game. Steve, thanks for joining us this morning.
How's it going, guys?
Hey, good. So Michigan wins this game 51-14, and they win by 37. But there are a few things that I think the coaching staff wants to clean up after this game. What's your first impression of this game? What are your overall takeaways?
Sure. I think the first thing is actually just published a piece, Pro Football Focus, graded out the Michigan offensive line as the top four offensive performers yesterday. In their minds were Michigan's four starting offensive linemen besides Ben Braden. I think, you know, and watching in the box yesterday, I think the biggest thing to me was I think what Central Florida wanted to do was bring the house all day, try to stop Michigan's running game and force Spate to throw the ball and beat them. And I think he did that with flying colors. I think I just read the stat. He was 18 for 26 for 202 yards and all four of his touchdowns when UCF was blitzing, you know, which says as much about the offensive line as it does him. You know, I think they kind of went into cruise control in the second half personally, which probably not a big surprise. I know they did leave their starters in a little bit later than I think maybe people anticipated. But again, I mean, you get off to such a quick start against an inferior opponent. I think you just keep things really vanilla and and, you know, just kind of work on, you know, the fine-tuning and especially up front on both sides of the ball. So, you know, my overall impression was, you know, I think there's like one or two of these games a year where it's kind of a weird game where they did dominate, but it maybe didn't look, you know, impressive in some areas. But, you know, Harbaugh's not, he's definitely not the kind of guy that's going to like, if he'd have thought they had played really badly, he's not going to like go off about it. But I think he would have been more stern or more pointed about maybe their performance if he felt it was subpar. But he seemed, you know, he seemed satisfied with the play up front on both sides. So, you know, I kind of defer to him, I guess, at the end of the day.
Yeah, great insight, Steve, on that, on plays from Spate under pressure and what he was able to do to fend off the UCF blitzing attack there and all the different blitz coverages they gave him. But as far as the offensive line, we've talked quite a bit about them today, and you mentioned them off the top a little bit. Do you anticipate those starting five to stay relatively the same, or if certain issues persist, do you expect some rotation along the offensive line?
You know, I think Harbaugh implied yesterday, and it was my belief anyway, I think they're still trying to ease Ben Braden back into the lineup. But at this point, because I think Grant Newsom has played two pretty solid games at left tackle, and that was really the one question mark, in my opinion, heading into the season. I think he's kind of put a stranglehold on that spot, at least for now, and it may be left guard. And the thing with Ben Bredesen, the true freshman, is he's a lot like Mason Cole, I think, at least in the coach's mind, in that he could, you know, be a guy that would play anywhere on the offensive line. I mean, I think they'd prefer him on the left side, but if they needed somebody at right guard or right tackle, if he was their sixth guy, I think he's somebody that they could rotate anywhere in. I do think he'll continue to maybe push Braden a little bit at left guard, you know, but for me, as long as Ben Braden is healthy, I feel like the five that started yesterday are probably going to be the guys. You know, like I said, with Ben Bredesen maybe pushing Braden a little bit at left guard. But I've been impressed with Grant Newsom so far. I mean, he's very, very agile for a guy his size. I like what he can do outside of the hash marks when they've been running those screens, and he's out there a lot quicker than most guys at his position. So, you know, I think he's a guy, again, he'll even say it himself. I think he did say it himself. He's still a pretty raw player overall, but I think Michigan fans should be excited about his potential going forward at left tackle.
Yeah, and the offensive line, we talked ad nauseum about them this morning, issues to work on. And the Michigan rushing attack, 11 guys carry the ball. They finished with only 119 yards on the ground. How much of that was related to offensive line issues, and how much was it related to the type of pressure that UCF brought to the Michigan ball carriers?
I mean, looking at just even reading the Pro Football Focus and even just watching the box, I mean, I feel like it was much more about the latter. You know, like I said, I think on out of Spate's 39 dropbacks, I think they blitzed or brought pressure on 31 of them. You know, so I think that their goal was to just push their front seven forward and try to thwart Michigan's running game and make an inexperienced quarterback beat them. You know, again, I don't get the impression that the coaching staff was too concerned about the running game. I know Devion Smith kind of did what Devion Smith does. I know a lot of people, typical, like, you know, Michigan fan thing, I think, but after he didn't really do much last week and they didn't necessarily need him, people wondered, you know, should Evans be the number one back or should it be Evans and Isaac? But Smith is so valuable to this team for the lot of, like, for the types of runs he had yesterday, with those ones where he just throws guys off, and even when he only gets 5 or 6 yards, I mean, those are such valuable plays, you know, to the way Michigan wants to run their offense. So, you know, again, maybe I'm a glass half full person, but I felt like it was more about UCF's game plan to just try to stack the box and make Michigan play one-sided football offensively, you know, and they maybe felt it was like their best shot to win. So, and obviously, I mean, you know, it didn't work out. It didn't really even come close. So, you know, I'm not as concerned about their running game as some people might be, you know, but we'll see going forward. You know, I just feel like the offensive line played a lot better than what is perceived out there.
Now we're talking to Steve Lorenz of 24/7 Sports here on the Playground on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket.
Yeah, I have a question. Let's talk about after the game. You in the locker room and talking to the angry kid from the Christmas Story, Scott Frost. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so he thought they out-hit Michigan, which was kind of a – I mean, I get the gist of what he was trying to say, but it was so far off. You know, I think, again, they were bringing pressure all game, so they were, you know, coming in hard, you know, at the point of attack and trying to make a difference there at the line of scrimmage. But, I mean, you know, he's had such a weird relationship with Michigan since the whole thing in 97. I just kind of felt like it was a little too much. I mean, to, you know, really Michigan, especially, you know, in the Michigan locker room after the game or in the press conference, you know, Chris Wormley said, you know, we had breakdowns on four plays. You know, we thought we performed really well except for four plays.
And can you actually give us the quote that Scott Frost gave you?
Yeah, We came in here and out-hit those guys today.
No doubt which team was hitting harder.
Yeah, and he, like I said, it you know, you get beat by 37 points, it just comes off a little.
So you don't think he's crazy?
I mean, I do a little. I like I said, I didn't know if it was a way of trying. I wondered if it was a way to try to pump his team up a little bit, make him feel better about the performance.
Or then he thought he won the game.
Right. No, that was the only angle I could take on it, where I thought maybe this guy's not like completely out of it, like with this, because like I said, I mean, I thought, you know, Michigan pretty much coasted most of the game. Peculiar comment though, but like I said, with his tumultuous or weird relationship he's had with Michigan since 97, I thought it was kind of an interesting way to kick off. I mean, it was pretty much at the beginning of his press conference too. It wasn't a thrown in comment at the end or anything. It's pretty much how he let off. So,
well,
you know, it was interesting.
Well, we're talking to Steve Lorenz of 24/7 Sports about Michigan's 51-14 victory yesterday, and we got into the receivers a little bit in the passing game, Steve, at the start of the show. But Darbo and Chesson, those are the guys that you expect to haul in big numbers. As we go forward into Big Ten play, how will Michigan approach their passing game against some better secondaries in the Big Ten, and will they be able to break off big chunks of long passing plays?
I feel like they will, as long as they continue to protect Spate. I mean, we saw it a lot last year, too, with Rudock. I mean, how many plays, you know, did you see Butt? Even against good teams, I think I remember, like, the Penn State game specifically, a few plays where, you know, Butt's open by 15 yards. There's no one around him. I think that's a lot of credit to Jed Fish, Tim Drevno, you know, for designing the right types of plays. You know, and they love to do a lot of things with the tight end position. And really, we haven't really seen much at the tight end spot yet, outside of Butt, you know, as far as they'll use guys like Bunting and maybe even like Ty Wheelie Jr. and those guys. So, I mean, I'm interested. One guy I'm interested to see going forward is Maurice Ways. I know he didn't really play much yesterday, but, you know, he was, before he had his foot injury this summer, he was on his way to, you know, maybe challenging to at least see the field, you know, a lot more than he did last year. And, you know, as a bigger receiver on the outside, you know, could be a guy that will spell one of those guys, Chesson or Darbo, when, you know, maybe they wouldn't have to take as many reps. You know, I think his foot injury, you know, obviously, it, you know, he had to take a step back after that and recover or whatever, but he's 100% now. He's kind of a guy I'm interested to see what he does going forward and what he might do in Big Ten play this year. I think he's got a lot of potential, you know, to be a guy that can do some things, especially in those, like, bubble screen type things where he can, you know, use his strength on the outside to beat that first defender and get 7 or 8 yards, you know, pretty easily. But I think it's, I love the way Jed Fish and Drevno Caller plays. I think they, you know, you see what they did yesterday even. I mean, those are plays that I feel like they were getting against most teams last year. And with it being the second year in the system for most of these, if not all these guys, you know, I think as long as the protection is there up front, I think that Spate's going to have, you know, a lot of options throughout the season. I mean, this is the thing. This is why I personally wasn't overly worried about who won the quarterback job. I thought it would be the offensive line that would maybe dictate how Michigan
make or break
here.
Yeah,
you know, and you know, if those guys could step up, you know, there's too many weapons, too many possibilities. I mean, you split even just having Butt, Chess, and Darbo out there. You know, where do you, who do you focus on? You know, and then you throw a guy like Smith or you put Evans out there, you know, next to Spate at quarterback. You know, it's, there's just a lot of weapons, a lot of possibilities, and they have a great coaching staff that's utilizing them correctly.
You mentioned Michigan and Wormley specifically saying that four breakdowns on four plays is really the in totality of their breakdowns in the game, and of course the 87-yard run. What did you hear from players on the defensive side and Don Brown and other defensive coaches after yesterday in terms of their assessment of the game?
You know, Jim Harbaugh talked a lot about spinning back. You know, it was a lot about protecting rushing lanes is where they broke down, and he talked about maybe in some situations over-pursuing a little bit, which I thought was interesting, you know, because that's Don Brown's MO is playing aggressively up front. So, you know, he said it was a lot about these guys maybe spinning backwards, getting back into those rushing lanes. I also did get the impression that, especially on the 87-yard touchdown run, that they thought Mike McCray was definitely held on the edge there and really had no shot, you know, to close the gap there. But, you know, people are going to worry because it was a running quarterback situation on a few of those plays. But again, I feel like they were playing pretty vanilla defense in most of those junctures. And again, I don't think it's going to be anything too much to worry about. You know, I know JT Barrett, obviously the guy I think most people are thinking about when they talk about stopping a running quarterback down the road. But again, I think it's just repetition. Remember, I mean, this is their first year in Don Brown's defense. I know it's not much different than DJ Durkin's, at least according to what we've been told. But again, there's still going to be kind of some growing pains, some learning there. And I think a lot of it just had to do with, you know, reads and keeping the lanes, you know, shutting those lanes a lot quicker, obviously. And lanes was the buzzword, I guess, would be the best way to put it after the game was lanes. Like, they just didn't cover their lanes well enough. And that's why those plays kind of broke down and those guys got some yardage.
Something to keep an eye on as we move forward into the Big Ten portion of the season. And Steve, one more for you here this morning before we let you go. Speaks to your last point you made about the defense not revealing a whole lot and more of a vanilla defense, as you said. Jordan Lewis didn't play for the second straight week. Taco Charlton was kept out. Brian Monet is still nursing an injury. What did you hear about the status of players from an injury perspective, and what's the timetable for a lot of these guys to return?
Sure. I think I'd be shocked if all of them weren't back by the Wisconsin game. I don't think, from what we've been told, none of them are serious. Jordan Lewis in particular, I think Michigan is just being very cautious with him. I don't think Harbaugh did say that his injury yesterday was something different from what he had sat out for the week before, which I think, you know, some red flags were raised when he said that. But everything I've been told is it's very minor, precautionary stuff, you know, and again, it does. It plays into who they're playing so far, you know, and you know, I don't want to speculate and say that Lewis will be back next week, but it wouldn't maybe surprise me if he was. You know, I feel like they're just, again, once the meat of the schedule hits, I feel like, you know, all these guys will be back. They're going to be fine. I think the one guy he's mentioned that would be potentially long-term was outside linebacker Noah Furbush. But even then, Harbaugh's policy is if it's a guy that's out for the year, then he'll tell you. If it's not, then he just kind of, you know, he might mention it but won't get specific, and he hasn't had to say that with anybody yet. So, you know, everything we've been told is, especially with Monet and Charlton, that they're, you know, week to week, but with Monet probably back for the Wisconsin game most likely, and Lewis very precautionary.
All right, Steve. Well, again, want to thank you for joining us this morning. We've been talking to Steve Lorenz of 24/7 Sports. You can read all his work at michigan.247sports.com, and you can follow Steve on Twitter at TremendousUofM. Steve, thank you for your time joining us on the playground this morning.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
All right, that was Steve Lorenz of Michigan 24/7 joining us here in the playground. We're going to head to a break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about Mr. Scott Frost and his post-game comments about Michigan yesterday. You're listening to WTK's Playground on Sports Talk 1050, WTKA, The Ticket.